B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
A British man issued a plea to his community to please, for the sake of decency and art, stop humping his shrub.
What?
Keith Tyson has been maintaining the shrub name Gloria since 2010. And once you see her, you'll understand why he's having problems keeping drunken louts off of his property.
This is Gloria.
It's a topiary, and it's in the shape of a woman lying back, okay?
Well, what do you expect?
And so...
I mean, come on.
The not infrequent encounters with random strangers is problematic for multiple reasons. On one hand, the noise made by fornicating with his hedge wakes the elderly man up in the middle of the night.
It's going to be my regular Saturday night thing, baby.
But even worse...
You're going to be my regular Saturday night thing.
Is the havoc that it wreaks on Gloria's figures. Keith Tyson says someone will squeeze the breasts, so that will damage it. He said she's been manipulated in the night by some drunken lout, and I thought she looked rather disparaging, so I took this plastic white string of beads and I put it around her neck to boost her morale.
So he gave her pearls.
He did give her pearls.
Made her even sexier.
But people are still banging his shrub, so he's asking you to please stop doing
are
that.
Are any of the other plants having their way with her?
Just no?
No,
just Gloria. When a man's body bag was unzipped the day after it had arrived at a morgue, staff were greeted by an unsettling, strange sight. There was fresh blood on the man's hospital gown from a skin tear on his arm, and two of his limbs had moved from their original position. Oh, and yes, his eyes were open.
Oh, my God!
The state coroner's office in Perth, Australia, is now investigating alarming claims from a doctor that the 55-year-old man may have been taken to the hospital morgue while he was still alive. The horror story continues.
What a nightmare for people. You know, that claustrophobic.
Oh, yeah.
That's right out of Edgar Allan Poe.
This concerns the final hours of Kevin Reed, a patient who was in palliative care at the Rockingham Hospital. It came to light after the concerned physician also claimed that hospital officials asked him to backdate Reed's death certificate in an apparent bid to cover up the incident. An anonymous doctor's report said, I believe the frank blood from a new skin tear, arm position, and eye signs were inconsistent with the person who was post-mortem on arrival at the morgue. It's alleged that he was placed in the body bag on the night of September 5th without a death certificate having been issued. Other staff at the hospital reportedly confirmed that his eyes had been closed. He had been dressed in a clean gown before being taken to the hospital's morgue, where a doctor performed his examination, recorded the death. The discrepancy was spotted by a funeral director who questioned the hospital as to why the death certificate, Reed died on September 6th, when the night before his family members were present at the hospital and were told that their loved one had died.
God. They also found some finished Sudoku puzzles in there, too.
Oh, no. So he's apparently, the family is looking into some kind of charges.
I mean, how do you make good on that?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. A New York City man has been charged with smuggling 3 Burmese pythons in his pants at a U.S.-Canadian border crossing. Calvin Bautista.
Oh, my God, he's packing.
Calvin Bautista is accused of bringing the hidden snakes on a bus that crossed into northern New York. And importation of Burmese pythons is regulated by an international treaty and by federal regulations listing them as injurious and harm to human beings.
How big is this network of animal smuggling? You have a story every other week.
Yeah. Bautista was arraigned on federal smuggling charges and released pending trial. And there's a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison and a fine as high as $250,000.
Do you think they're getting good enough to smuggle in big cats?
Maybe something.
Yeah. It's a cheetah in your pants.
Here's a follow-up story. A towering 430-foot freefall ride in Florida from which a 14-year-old boy plunged to his death in March is going to be torn down in response to the tragedy.
I remember this story.
Freefall ride at Orlando's Icon Park had been declared a danger to public health, safety, and welfare, and was shut down shortly after middle schooler Tyree Sampson slipped from the harness as the ride, which takes riders higher than the Statue of Liberty, rapidly descended on March 24th. The ride's operator, Richie Armstrong, said that he and the others remain devastated by Tyree's death. He said, we have listened to the wishes of Tyree's family and the community and have made the decision to take down the free fall. In addition, Orlando Slingshot will honor Tyree and his legacy in the classroom and on the football field by creating a scholarship in his name. Details about the scholarship and the ride's removal date will be shared at a later date. Armstrong said an attorney for Tyree's family did not immediately respond to a request for comment this past
week. What was the name of that ride, Preston? It was a slide. Like Schlitter something or...
No, Schlitterbahn? Schlitterbahn ride.
Right. Yeah. And the first couple of days it was open, a kid launched off of it.
Yep.
Yep, and was
And they tore it down. Yeah.
Decapitated.
Right.
Yeah. So this is another snake story, a little bit different than the other one. In the world of boutique snake breeding...
Which is a wonderful world.
Well, apparently it's pretty lucrative.
Really?
A guy named Ben Rennick was a rock star. The unique color combinations and patterns that he produced at Rennick Reptiles in rural New Florence, Missouri, created designer pets that could sell for upwards of $100,000.
Wow. Holy hell.
That's according to his friend and fellow breeder, David Levinson.
I'm going to start painting my cats.
But reptiles can also be dangerous. When on June 8th, Ben's wife, Lynn Lee, called Ben's brother and screamed that she'd found Ben face down at the breeding facility in a pool of blood, Sam Rennick raced over and reached the most logical conclusion. He said, "My brother's skull was crushed." This is in a 911 call. Oof. "In my wildest dreams, I would have never imagined someone would hurt Ben." With Lindley at his side, Sam told 911 it had to have been a snake. But he hadn't been strangled by a reptile. The coroner told Sam on the spot, he's been shot 8 times.
What? Snakes don't have hands.
At least once in the head. Rumored tensions between the brothers over money and possible sale of the family farm at first pointed investigators to Sam, and Lindley didn't dissuade them either. He said the seed was definitely planted early, that he had something to do with it, according to Levinson, whom Lindley quickly asked to maintain and then helped to downsize Ben's 3,000 reptile stock of animals, which included prized ball pythons that could fetch more than $1 million.
Well, there's your reason for that.
But investigators soon turned to another suspect, and that was Lindley herself, his wife. The couple's relationship was troubled. Lindley soon acknowledged an affair, and then a second one with a man who she began seeing just days before Ben's murder. The day prior to the shooting, Lindley had also deleted social media exchanges with Ben that revealed his mistrust in their fights over money, as Lindley had fallen deep into debt from a spa business she opened a year earlier. Meanwhile, another of Lindley's ex-boyfriends, Michael Humphrey, I'm sorry, I got to zip through this, there's a lot, came to the attention of investigators. Lindley would later claim that she had enlisted Humphrey to accompany her to the snake breeding facility where she planned to break up with Ben on the day that he was killed. She had different intentions. Lindley feared that if she and Ben wound up in a divorce, she might lose custody of the child they had together, along with access to Ben's $1 million life insurance policy and proceeds from the sale of his business and property. In court, Lindley testified she didn't know that Humphrey had a gun with him. They both blamed the other one for firing the fatal shots. Jurors found them both guilty. Humphrey was sentenced to life in prison. Lindley was sentenced to 16 years in prison. Pretty interesting story.
I hope Kim Kardashian does this on her podcast, Preston.
Oh, yeah.
Her murder mystery podcast.
Crime podcast. Yeah.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File podcast.
An Eastern Washington rancher has been sentenced to 11 years in prison by a federal judge. So 11 years in prison. And this is for a massive ghost cattle scam that defrauded Tyson Foods and another company out of more than $244 million.
It's another catastrophe.
Yes, there you go, buddy.
Cody Easterday was sentenced in federal court for what the judge is calling the biggest theft or fraud I've seen in my career.
Does a ghost cow go moo or boo?
I think it's moo. Prosecutors contend Easterday had fraudulently charged the companies for approximately 265,000 head of cattle that didn't exist.
Man.
And destroyed his family's ranching empire.
Sure.
Yeah. He amassed significant personal wealth, yet he wanted more, so he defrauded his victims of nearly $250 million by charging for cattle that never existed. The judge also ordered him to pay $244 million in restitution.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Served 3 years of probation after he's released from prison. He and his business, Easterday Ranchers, entered into agreements with Tyson Foods and other companies whereby Easterday Ranches agreed to purchase and feed cattle on their behalf under these agreements. The victims advanced Easterday's ranches the cost of buying and raising the cattle. So he got this advance, essentially, for stuff that he didn't even have. And he ended up spending a whole bunch of it, but I'd never heard of that before.
It's like a beef Ponzi scheme.
Yeah. Yeah. Milk them for everything.
Yeah. I like that.
Well, that's good, Casey. Let's see. This is a terrible story. A young woman who accidentally died at Liverpool's historic Adelphi Hotel was crushed by a wardrobe after waking in the middle of the night and mistaking it for the bathroom door.
So she went to open it and it tumbled over onto her?
Fell on her.
Jeez.
Chloe Haynes, 21 years old, was found dead in the famed city hotel after emergency services rushed to the scene following a safety concern. Her mother...
Who's the ambulance heading over there?
Her mother, Nicola, had revealed that the wardrobe is believed to have fallen off of the wall and crushed her windpipe.
That's...
She said, it looks like she got out of bed confused, not knowing where she is, and opened the wardrobe door, maybe thinking that it's the bathroom door or the exit or the room, and it was a big, old, heavy wardrobe, and it fell on her and crushed her windpipe. So that's why, listen, if you have a heavy piece of furniture like that, you got to secure it to the wall.
Yeah. So a lot of times, now this is obviously something that was older in the house and may not have had the option, but when you get something now of a large size like that, they usually come with an attachment that secures it to the wall.
Yep, you can anchor it.
Did it indicate whether she was intoxicated or not?
She was, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she had been out drinking, so, but still.
No, I know, but my
roommate... What a way to go.
Well, my roommate my freshman year fell off of his desk... because he was drinking, he thought he was climbing back into bed. So it was like very similar. And
you got to be way out of it for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, he'd peed in his closet first. But anyway.
What a wonderful night.
That happened to Paramount.
Yep.
All right. Also, here's a short one. A 34-year-old man is dead after attempting to a handstand on a balcony at a Myrtle Beach hotel. Who is Willard here?
That's a rat.
No, the coroner is Tamara Willard.
Oh.
Said that Markle Hope of Akron, Ohio, fell from a 15th floor balcony at the Patricia Grand Hotel in South Carolina, apparently trying to do a handstand. So I don't know if this guy was drunk too, but he died at the scene of his injuries, and his death has been considered.
Was it worth it?
Accidental. Here's another interesting building story. A viral video shows a man in a suit jumping between awnings atop a New York City high-rise. The daredevil eventually climbed onto a 23rd-story window of the building. I saw the pictures
of this. It'll give you vertigo.
It looks insane.
He's
way up there. The businessman seemed to be on a phone call as he begins jumping. He finishes the call, leaps 4 times, then goes back inside. Eric Young, who filmed the video, posted the death-defying scene on Instagram. He was already hopping around from awning to awning when we first saw him, he said. So it's crazy.
Yeah, he was apparently checking for leaks in the roof.
Is that what he was doing?
That was the deal? Yeah, he was actually contracted to go up and fight these leaks.
All righty then. And there you go. That's what I have in the Bizarre File for you.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.